My first wife and I met my freshman year in college when her brother was my roommate, the year UW Oshkosh made it to the World Series. 9 years later in Carmel, making the relationship official seemed like the next thing to do, and shortly after, so did a move back to Wisconsin. In a blink, the Ryder trailer was hitched to the Porsche. Still with Merrill Lynch, I rolled into Wisconsin feeling as if I were printing money. Season tickets to Badger games, weekends in the Wisconsin Dells. It was 1992, and I was in my late 20s. Then came a call from Andy Burrish, brother of a good friend from Wausau. Would I want to come to Payne Weber? He mentioned a signing bonus of $100,000. With Merrill Lynch threats flying at my back, I changed offices to Payne Weber in Madison and began to rebuild my portfolio. My new income paid for a bigger home, a boat, and ski equipment, and two new cars. After work, I'd slalom until 9 p.m., then fall in bed. The next day, rinse and repeat. Wasn't this the life? Entertaining in ways small and big, boating, tubing. The party had limits, of course, as once small problems in my marriage grew increasingly inconvenient. I'd tell myself I deserved better, and with a self-ethic far exceeding my marriage ethic, I looked for a way out. A guy locked onto himself can keep hard thinking at a minimum, and one Saturday morning I sat down and said I wanted a divorce. She sat down to absorb the shock. I moved into a friend's house. Post-divorce, my world remained boating, drinking, and nights out. Then Mike Tullis called and said, "Trish and I are splitting. Can I live with you? We'll put a strobe light in your living room and make it party central." The year was 1995. Forrest Gump was in theaters, Bill Clinton was in the White House, and Mike took over an upstairs bedroom. An Elvis cutout showed up downstairs, and we added a pool table. The living room was party central. Friends materialized after work, and from there we hit the bars. Tullis and I were sure our bathroom mirrors reflected back to us the most eligible bachelors of them all, right in High Points Estates, in a dream big house with a three-car garage, one storing a boat. It's a small story, I know now. Mike and I were working hard by day and partying like rock stars by night when a friend at the office, Kim Marshall, asked me to have lunch with someone named Paul Wilson. In our group, Kim was a listener, and a kind one. Consequently, when she said something, I tended to listen to her. Paul and I were about the same age, she said, and had things in common. When I asked what he did, she said he was a pastor. Stop the music. Wasn't I the guy on the boat living the life of Charlie Sheen? I thought for a beat. Maybe I shrugged. Whatever. Okay, sure, I said, and she set us up at a nearby Chili's. And I never saw what hit me. When the day came, Paul and I sat down at 11:30 a.m. At 3:30, I looked up and my life was upside down. For starters, the guy didn't judge me. When I talked about my life, he got it and made no moves to fix it. I wasn't seeking, but whatever he'd found had my attention. Still Catholic, I was living hard and, a miracle to anyone who knew me, still showing up for Mass on Sundays. Over lunch that day at Chili's, I lobbed a few loaded questions at Paul, but our conversation mostly stayed easy. How God came up, I can't recall. Maybe I said, "How can he allow suffering?" Paul was comfortable even with theology he couldn't know. He said, "What if I'm right? What if Jesus is..."